Ready to rock and roll?
Ready to rock.
Okay. Rabbi Reif asked me to speak briefly about how to build an Eruv. Now, of course, it's terribly important to know how to build an Eruv, whether you want to build it around your own garden, perhaps your garden with a neighbor's garden or something like this together, or perhaps you're going to be camping somewhere and you want to build an Eruv around the camp. Or perhaps, one finds oneself in situations where it's very practical to know how to build an Eruv. Now, of course, you can look at the Eruv, which is built as you walk down the street here to Efrat. You can see the Amudim of the Eruv along the side of the road. And that, of course, gives you some good ideas right away. If the Eruv is going to be standing for a period of time, you want it not just for one Shabbat, so the way they've tied empty bottles, on the wires, so that as you walk by, you can tell at a glance whether or not the wire is in place. Makes inspection of the Eruv much quicker and easier. If you have something dangling there, then as you go by quickly, you can see that the wire is in place. Otherwise, it might be hard to spot the wire and know that it is there. Now, as far as using Tzurat HaPetach is concerned, not a real wall, but a symbolic wall of two posts in the wire or whatever over the top, as far as that's concerned, what it says, there are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Samach Bet, Sif Yud. The first opinion is, Im Asad Tzurat HaPetach Afilu L'Pirtza Yekeran Eser Mutter. First opinion is, it doesn't matter what the distance is between the poles. It doesn't matter. Everything is okay. As long as you have poles with a wire over the top, that gives you Tzurat HaPetach. Afilu lo na'at elo dalet kundesin ba'arba ruchot va'asat Tzurat HaPetach al gabehen mutter. You can have a large area, put four pillars, connect the four pillars by wires, and now that's enough to permit carrying within the entire area. Might not be practical, maybe you might need more posts in order to hold up the wire, but assuming that the wire is thin enough and the wire is strong enough to be drawn between four posts, that's all you need in the four corners. That's the first opinion. That's the Mekel opinion. The Machmir opinion brought in the Shulchan Aruch is, according to the Rambam, Ein Tzurat HaPetach Mo'il L'Pirtza Yoter Me'eser. According to the Rambam, a Tzurat HaPetach is not good if the gap is more than 10 Amot. Ella in Cain Omed Miruba Alaporos. It means like this. If we have a real wall with a gap, and another real wall, and another gap, and another real wall, you measure up the real walls, total area, total length of the real walls, measure up the length of the gaps. If the measure of the real walls is greater than the measure of the gaps, then Tzurat HaPetach is satisfactory to fill in the gaps. But if the majority is porutz, if the length of the real walls is less than the length of the gaps, then it's meruba porutz, and Tzurat HaPetach doesn't work according to the Rambam. It follows that according to the Rambam, the Eruv around our towns, around Efrat or Yerushalayim or any towns, is simply not kosher according to the Rambam, because the Eruv around Efrat is not a Tzurat HaPetach, which is used to fill in gaps in a real wall. There is no real wall, and therefore it's only Tzurat HaPetach. Therefore, our Eruv in Efrat, including Kiryat HaYeshiva and Yerushalayim and so forth, is all relying upon the first opinion.
But the yeshiva is a
real fence. Right? The yeshiva has a real fence. That's true. So the yeshiva is kosher even according to the Rambam, because the yeshiva has a real fence.
As far as the yeshiva fence,
that's all you need. Asarat Tzfachim. Incidentally, on the back of the second sheet, you have in meters and inches. If you want to know which sheet.
The Greeks.
If the holes are less than 3 tefachim, then it's ki'ilu labud. So the fence around the no mishaneh bichlal, no mishaneh bichlal. The lachin gader around Kiryat Yeshiva surely counts as a real mechitza. Counts as a mechitza if it is steep enough. The reason it counts is because it's not ra'ui nadira, because it's so talul, so steep. This is not ra'ui nadira. It doesn't have a din of a mechitza. We'll come to the exact criteria of telhamit plaket a little bit later. Now, as far as the two opinions, the first maker opinion and the second machmir opinion, that of the Rambam, the Mishnah Brura says, Nachon lachush l'divrei Rambam. Now, I always think that when the Mishnah Brura says something like Nachon lachush l'divrei hamachmir, Nachon lachush l'divrei Rambam, I always think it's tantamount to saying, of course, halacha is in accord with the maker opinion. And those who wish to be machmir, following the Rambam, I will not say they are crazy. I will not say they are doing something senseless. So nachon, yesh tam lachmir. But surely the halacha is in accord with the maker opinion. The Orach HaShulchan phrases it a little bit differently. Orach HaShulchan says, Ledina b'vadai kaimalan kedak lo haposkin. Of course the halacha is like the lenient opinion. V'chein mevoa b'divrei Rabbeinu HaBeis Yosef, Sifiyud, Shehevi tasalambam kidei'a yechidai. So here he has a little bit of a different approach to the matter. Since the Shulchan Aruch quotes the first opinion, the lenient one, the Stam, anonymously, as the general opinion of majority of poskim, whereas the second opinion, that of the Rambam, is quoted b'shmo as the unique opinion of one of the Rishonim, so of course the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is in accord with the first opinion, the lenient one. Igros Moshe also says, Kol ha'olam nohagim delo k'harambam mitzad shabeis Yosef machmir delo k'dvarav. According to the Igros Moshe, no one out there is choshesh for the machmir opinion of the Rambam. Of course, we suspect that whenever the Igros Moshe says Kol ha'olam nohagim, he means in the little villages around the town where he grew up in Litter. That's probably what he means when he says Kol ha'olam nohagim. Rather like his opinion when, this is a big machlokas about how to calculate one third of the day, one quarter of the day, one third of the day for Sofsman, Shrishma, Sofsman, Tfila, whether you begin counting the day at Zricha, the opinion of the Gra, or you begin recounting the day from Al-Sashachra, the opinion of Magen Avraham. The opinion of the Magen Avraham gives you earlier times, since you start counting earlier at Alas HaShachar. The opinion of the Gra gives you later times during the day, since you begin counting Sha'od Zmaniyot at Zricha, which is a little bit later. And Gigas Moshe says, as far as this Machlokas is concerned, if you want to print up a calendar with only one opinion on it, of course, the opinion to give everyone is the opinion of the Gra, because that's the opinion which everyone follows. That's the minhag of Kol HaOlam, is to follow the minhag of the Gra in this matter. And therefore, if you're only giving one opinion, that's the opinion you should give. And surely, that was true in the villages around where he grew up in Litta. So, bottom line, Tzuras HaPesach is okay. Now we have to define what Tzuras HaPesach is. Shulchan Aruch asks, Mahu Tzuras HaPesach? What is it? Answer, Kaneh Mekan, V'Kaneh Mekan, V'Kaneh Al Gabehem. One pole on the left, one pole on the right, and another horizontal pole over the first two. Afilu Eino Nogei Abahem, Ela Sheyesh Behem Kama Amot. Even if the horizontal pole, it does not touch the vertical pole, even if the horizontal pole is far above the vertical pole, there's a big gap between them, that's okay. Yovav Sheyehe Gova Hakanim Mekani Mekan Asarat Fachim, as long as the vertical poles, the uprights on the left and right, at least each one is at least Asarat Fachim, if the uprights are at least a Sura Tzachim, it doesn't matter how high the horizontal is over it, Yihyu Mechuvanim Kenegid Kene Elyon, as long as the horizontal is Mechuvan directly over the vertical, then you're okay even if there's a vast gap. Now, if you walk down the street towards Efrat, you see that's exactly the way the local Efrat Eruv is built. They use the telephone lines, or electric lines, whatever it is, those cables are being used. And underneath the cables are either oil drums, which are at least Asarat Fachim high, and the oil drum is directly underneath the wire, so there's a Kanen Mekan, another oil drum at the other side, Kanen Mekan, and the wire going directly over them, even though there's a big distance between them. Alternatively, if the wire is attached to the side of a pole, if the wire is attached to the side of a pole, well, this wire is not going over the pole, and therefore it's no good. Therefore, under the wire, an extra strip of wood will be nailed onto the pole. That extra strip of wood nailed onto the pole is the kaneh mekan, the vertical, which is directly under the horizontal. It has to be asar tzvachim high, even if there's a vast gap between the top of the pole and the wire. That doesn't matter. And that's the way it's actually built. This is still the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. In chiber kaneh ha'elyon l'shnei hakanim ol le'achad mehem min hatzad lo nahani. This is a big idea. Tzuras haPesach min hatzad lo nahani. Tzuras haPesach min hatzad is no good, and therefore, if we have a pole and the wires are attached to the side of the pole, no good. The wires have to go over the top of the pole. Now, ordinary high power cables are, here we have an example of wires attached to the side of the pole. That's an obvious one, no good. What we often have is at the top of the pole a T configuration, and the wires going over the T.
These wires going over the caravans.
Caravans in a moment we'll see don't count as an omelet.
Then it would be okay.
Now, if there's a T configuration at the top of the pole and the wires pass over the T, Rov HaPoskim hold, that's no good. It has to go over the center of the T, and therefore if it's going over the side of the T, you need oil drums under that. But since Miyut HaPoskim, since there are HaPoskim who approve of this, then B'Shasat Chak, since we know the rule is HaKol K'divrei HaMekel B'Eruvin, B'Shasat Chak, if there's no other option, there is room to be Somech on this configuration as well. Now, one of the biggest kulas in the book is the kula of Rav Chaim HaLevi. Rav Chaim HaLevi is the author of many great chumras that we live with. If we live with his great chumras, why should we not smile with one of his kulas? Rav Chaim HaLevi, the second of the Great Soldier, right? The second of the Great Soldier, the son of the Beis HaLevi. Now, the Chidushe Rav Chaim, he says like this: the psul of Eruv min Hatzad is if the wire is attached to the side of a pole, as we see outside the window here. If the wire is not attached to the side of the pole, it's attached to the middle of the pole, that's okay. It doesn't have to go over the top. It's only possible if it goes from the side. But if it hits the pole in the middle, that's okay.
And it stops there?
Yes, it's tied on.
It's like types in your poem.
According to this, you have two trees. According to this, you have two trees. Just have to tie a rope from one to the other, not on the sides of the tree, but put a nail in the middle of the tree, a nail in the middle of the tree, and put a wire between them, and you're okay, according to your type. The side is it passes only if it's on the side, but if the wire hits the tree in the middle, you're okay. Only if it comes to the sides it passes.
That's not that's good to you. Has to work through.
No. It's the two poles. If it's a tree or a pole, a nail in this, a nail in that, a wire connected, you're okay. The psul would be if the wire comes to the side and then is wrapped around. If it comes to the side and is wrapped around, no good. If it's the middle, you're okay.
What's the difference?
It's not min hatzad. The chazal amirush is a psul and a min hatzad. It's only min hatzad. Now, of course, we're not going to rely upon this kula, since it is a das yochid, and therefore in building an eruv, we will not rely upon it. But again, b'shasat chak, if one has no other choice, there is room to rely upon this. Now, how strong how strong do the poles have to be? How strong does the wire over the top have to be? Sarich shiyu akanim shabatstadim chazakim yukabel delet koshiru. The kanemakan, the vertical poles have to be strong enough to support a delet kol shehu, the lightest of doors, have to be supportable by the kanemakan, Even if the door is made out of straw, a very light door, that's okay. Oshel kanem, the door can be the lightest door possible, but the poles have to be capable of supporting the lightest door possible. Of Al Kanesha Al Gaban, the pole which goes over the top, the wire over the top, the vertical, the horizontal, something called Shahu. Doesn't have to be strong enough to hold anything. As long as it exists, that's all we need. Afilu gumming mahani, even if it's that's a kind of plant fiber, which they had in those days. I guess the plant fiber still exists, but the merest of wires, the skinniest of wires or string, is enough to go over the top. Now, the Mishnah Brura, when speaking about the left and the right pole, kanem mekan, the kanem mekan, Mishnah Brura says, afilu achad gavoa machad elol haben, v'akaneha elyon munach t'shibua. If the left and right pole are of different heights, it doesn't matter, even very different heights. Even if the horizontal is not horizontal at all, it's slanting from the top of one pole to the top of the other pole, doesn't matter. It's all okay, according to the Mishnah Brura. In the Shart Siyun, he quotes the opinion of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger, Nistapek b'shipua gadol. Rabbi Kiva Eger said that if the two poles have to be approximately the same height, so the horizontal is approximately horizontal, shipua gadol is a suffix, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger. I have here a list of who's machmir and who's mako on this issue. Rov haposkim are mako, like the Mishnah Brura, and therefore one should not be overly concerned with the angle of the horizontal wire. I do not know the answer to your question. I can tell you what I think is the answer, but I cannot prove it. What I believe is the answer to your question, and since I have no good proof for it, I'm happy to hear someone else propose a different answer. Maybe I'll be convinced a different answer is better. My answer is a little bit shaky. I think the answer is, as I explained before, he has his opinion based upon his derech hapsak, but sometimes he thinks the other opinions are nidche, and therefore not worthy of relying upon, and someone who does rely upon other opinions is just foolish. Sometimes he thinks other opinions, although I do not paskin that way, it's not nidche legamre, and therefore someone who chooses to be machme or maker like this other opinion, I will not say he's foolish. Yesh alma l'smoch. Okay, and it usually has to do with the samchut, how authoritative the posek is who has the opinion which is nidcha. Now, ad kama can one be maker? It seems to me that the limits of kula are expressed by the Mishnah Brura in the following example. Im mityaret, you are afraid. Shahaluach yapil et hakanim shel tzadim. You are afraid that the wind is going to blow over the kanem kan, the kanem kan. So what are you doing? Yachol la'asol kan al yidei seed, machui b'kotel b'kanem kan. To take a wall, paint a line on the wall. The line you painted on the wall is now your kaneh mekan, and over that line you will put a wire over to the next wall. Oh, that's the minimum of a kaneh mekan, a line painted on the wall.
Isn't
this
going
by the
Rama,
right? Right, yeah, sure.
Sure.
Well, he says, Nikra Bari, this is called a Kane Bari, this is called healthy and strong, L'chamid bo delet, we say this is strong enough to hold a delet, shel kashin, ta'al yidei kotel, sha'asi tahui mahui ba nechshevet bria. The reason this line is so strong is because it's held up by the wall. Since the wall is holding up this line of paint, so this line of paint is a very strong vertical. You have the wall because the horizontal has to then go over the wall, and in a moment we're going to see a house doesn't count as a kaneh. A house does not count as a kaneh. And even if it's not a house, even if it's just a wall, the horizontal is going to have to go over it. But that might be inconvenient if it's a very high wall, right?
So we have a pad-top, it's not a
pad-top campaign, it's like a pad-top. Oh, very good. Very good. Now the Makom Makom, the Inan Sheyahid, the seed, Mamashos, the Ksat, Al Kol Panim Kachut. The paint has to have some substance to it, at least the thickness of a thread. Of Al Mar'eh seed, Lavad, if it's only Mar'eh, with no thickness at all, Roshim, Benedesh, Akorim, Kreid, that's the Yiddish word for chalk, gear. If it's only roshen, mar'eh, and no substance, oshar tseva lo mahani, it has to be noticeable, have some thickness, like at least the thickness of a thread. Tzarich lizaher shelo yitmacheh shlosha tfachim esmuchim la'aretz al yidei klavim v'chazirim. Of course, if the local dogs and pigs are going to be rubbing against the wall and rubbing off the paint down near the floor, three tfachim from the floor, three tfachim, it can be no paint at all. But if the line on the wall starts more than three tfachim distant from the ground, then the kaneh mekan is not connected to the ground and no good. The kaneh mekan, the vertical has to be within three tfachim of the ground. And if your local dogs or chazirim are going to be rubbing against the wall and rubbing off the paint, that can get you into trouble. Now, it seems to me that this has taken the concept of leniency about as far as it can conceivably go. So hard to really imagine what could be more lenient than this. He does say, well, the Mishnah Brura, the Magen Avraham in any event says, Ein mekshor tzad echad shalchut l'rosh gad shalbayot. A house does not count as a kaneh mekan. Lo al kotel, also not a wall, kevan shehabayit einenu nireh kikaneh. the kane mekan, the kane mekan has to be something which will give the appearance to the people who see it of being a surat ha-petach. Now, we spoke before about some of the shittas of min hatzad. The min hatzad, the perush is shalom matan ha'elyon al shnei kanim kanima omdim ela sibrot hibru lahem min hatzad. Lefi she'ein adam ela petach she'amashkof nitan al shtei mezuzot. In an ordinary door, well, here we have a fine example. In this doorway, on the left and the right, there are two mezuzot. And the mashkof on the top, you can see clearly that the mashkof on the top is munach al gabei hamizuzot. That's one eye. The Mela, in Surat Petach, the horizontal has to be al-gadeh, the kanim. Im no'etz masmer rosh ha-kaneh v'kosher bo hevel, shafir dami, d'ha munach milamala negev ha-kaneh. If you look at the official Rabbanut Eiluv posts, and you'll see them going down the side of the street as you walk down to Efrat, you'll see them all around most of Efrat. The official Rabbanut Eiluv posts are metal. They're in the middle of the top. It is like a nail. The wires wrap around the nail, and even though the nail extends higher than the wire, this is not called min hatzad, this is kosher, because the nail is only there to hold the wire over the kaneh, and the wire does truly, therefore, go over the kaneh, and that's okay. Im karach achut saviv hakaneh min hatzad ad shekrichato he'alto al rashei hakanim gam ken kasher. If you don't have a nail on top of the kaneh, what you can do is have the rope meet the kaneh min hatzad, go around a number of times until it's very tight, tie a few knots if you want, then go once over the top, and as long as it at some point goes over the top, that's enough. It doesn't have to go initially over the top in order to have a kosher tzuras petach. Now, if you're out there in the forest camping, I suppose people who are out there in the forest camping are tree huggers at heart, or else why would they be out there? And therefore, they're not happy with the idea of driving nails into trees, because that's not environmentally friendly, you know what I'm talking about? So the only reasonable solution to the problem of building an eruv around the tents, around the camp where you're tenting, is to tie a rope to the side of the tree, put a rope up and down along the side of the tree, tie the rope to the bottom, tie the rope to the top. Now the rope going up and down the tree is your kaneh mekan, do it on the other tree, and then the kaneh al-gabehem goes over those two ropes. It can even be the same rope going up, across, and down, and then you're okay. And after you're done camping, you can just untie the knot so you don't have any damage to the tree.
Not
inside, it doesn't matter because if you're using the same rope going up one tree and across, so that the horizontal does meet this rope right on the top, and you're okay. So that's going to be all right.
How tall does the rope or the string need to be?
There has to be at least a sort of Hatay. It has to be tight enough, as we presently see, so that it's the wind will not blow it away. But the wind will blow it. It will move, and the wind is okay. But if the wind will blow it away altogether, then it's possible. That's the omed. That's the omed, the ruach mitzuya, and that's all. Incidentally, your food. What are you going to do with your food overnight? Well, that's been a problem. It's been a problem because you can't tie knots on Shabbos. And you're also not allowed to use trees on Shabbos, right? Shimush trees also asur on Shabbos, and therefore the only reasonable solution for your food overnight is before Shabbos to tie a loop around a branch, and then on Shabbos you will not be using the branch, but rather that loop, that's the sidei ha'ilan, not the ilan itself. Your food will then have to be in a bag, which before Shabbos was tied to a string. That bag can then be thrown through the loop. The other end of the string cannot be tied to a tree on Shabbos because you can't make a knot, but it can be wrapped around the tree in a way which will remain stable until after Shabbos and protect it from the bears. Why you want to go camping in a place where you need protection against the bears is a question to which I do not know the answer, but apparently there are people who do. To win, then they can do it. Now you remember, the Shulchan Aruch said that the horizontal can be afilu gummy, afilu a vegetable fiber, can be, it doesn't have to be strong enough to support anything. Kiel kane she al gaban mekane she b'tzadim, the verticals have to be strong enough to hold a delicate kosher. The horizontal does not have to be that strong. So if there's a hair shelo yadirim haluach, the verticals have to stand still, even if it's windy. The verticals are the basic definition of Tzuras HaPesach, and therefore if the wind will rock it, it's possible. The verticals have to stand even in an ordinary wind. Well, Kanesh al Gaban, the horizontal, Neg, Sarit was a Heshelo Yunatel al Yidea Ruach, has to be strong enough so the wind will not blow it away altogether. Aval Yiruach Yanidal, but if the Ruach just moves it, makes it rock, Ein Bachach Klum, it's perfectly alright. The Ikra Mechitza Tolu Bishmechan and Omdim Natsad, as long as the verticals are strong enough that they won't move in the wind, the horizontal doesn't matter at all. Now the Prima Gadim says, Kol Orech HaKaneh HaElyon Tzarich Liyot L'mala Me'asara Tzvachim. Lachem, Im HaKaneh HaElyon Eino Kulo L'mala Me'asara Fasol. The idea is as follows. We have our two verticals, and the horizontal going over it. Typically, the horizontal is going to be attached to the top of the verticals. That's the way it is in the area of going down to a frat here. And the question is, how tight does it have to be? If it's not very tight, it's going to sag. Well, sagging is okay as long as no part of the sag comes close to the ground. Close to the ground is asar tzvachim, and the whole vertical, the whole horizontal wire from all its entire length must all be over 10 tzvachim off the ground. Therefore, it must be pulled tight enough for that to be true. And if between the two verticals the land rises, you're going to have to measure from the top of the land to the wire. There has to be a sort of tzvachim in every case.
This kind of measures
again?
Can you measure this?
Yeah, sure. Medidah, Mitzorach Mitzvah, is mutter on Shabbos, and if the question arises whether the Eruv is kosher, you have to measure Asorat Tzachim, by all means. Mutter Lechakira.
Just to carry
a
measuring stick to
be a Shabbos. And maybe the Eruv is possible. There is one way out weird leniency in this matter, which despite the fact that it's weird and way out, is quoted by a number of great achelonim, including the Aruch Hashulchan. And it is the leniency of the Yerushalmi Kluger, the author of Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo. In Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, Ha'elef is a thousand shulas. It's a book of thousand shulas. In Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, Yerushalmi Kluger, the great Rav of Brod, wrote the same tshuva to a number of shteplach, a number of villages in Eastern Europe, where apparently, just goes to show you how times have changed. In those days, the problem they had was that the goyim would tear down the eruv. How different from contemporary times, where it's the charedim would tear down the eruv. You see how times have changed. His advice was as follows. Put up the Eruv immediately before Shabbos. As long as the Eruv is standing ben hashmashot, between Shkia and Tzeset Lechavim, so Chutzah is mutter during that period of time. And the rule is, according to the Gemara, Chutzah, Kevan Shehutra, Hutra, once it's mutter, it remains mutter, and as long as the Eruv is standing ben hashmashot, then you're okay. I know that this is a far-out kula. I know that the Gemara is not normally understood as having anything to do with Hilchos Shabbos Bichlal. It's normally understood as having to do with Yom Tov and not Shabbos at all. I know that the Gemara is not normally understood this way, but Rav Shlomo Kluger did understand it, as I've explained, and a number of great achelonim quote him on this matter. So perhaps you can rely upon this. לפי זה אפילו העירוב נופל במשך שבת, אז אם ידוע שהעמד לפחות בין השמשות, אז אין בכך. אוקיי, the Eruv, the horizontal has no shiur lamala, that the horizontal can be very, very, very high, it doesn't matter, there is no maximum shiur. L'chein tzurat ha-petach k'shera afil rigavoha me'esrim ama, unlike in a mavui, unlike in a sukkah, where there is a maximum height, so the horizontal is nikah la'ayin, in the tzurat ha-petach there is no maximum height, and therefore whatever is convenient is okay. If you have high power cables, which are very, very high, and you can aim the oil drums directly underneath them, that's satisfactory. Of course, if it gets to be very high, then it gets to be a technical problem. How on earth are you supposed to know whether the oil drums are exactly underneath them or not? But that's a technical problem which an engineer can help you solve. Oil drum is a kadem, one oil drum here, one oil drum here, kadem, mekan, each of them at least a saw it's fucking off the ground, and very high above them are the power cables, that's the kadem, mekan. That's all it is.
Do they actually have to be
such big? No, the reason these oil drums is because they're available, and they're very stable. Once you fill them with level, so they're very heavy and they stay there forever. So it's convenient and stable. That's why they need oil drums. Minimally, a line of paint on the wall. Kamosha ain't shiur lamala, ain't shiur l'yadach ben hakanim. the Kanemakan, the Kanemakan can be distant many kilometers. That gives a technical problem of how the wire above is not going to sag so much in the middle. But you know, assuming the technical problems can be overcome, there's in theory no maximum distance between the Kanemakan and the Kanemakan. Minadin, arba'a kanim, masbikim, afilu l'shetach gadol. In theory, a whole city can be enclosed with just four kanim. Then, if you can find a technical way to be muteach, the chut around them, so the chut would not sag in the middle. In practice, it might not be possible, but halachically, there's no maximum distance. Kanim ha'omnim ba'alatzon. The notim zelazer, zekhapazer. We're talking about this. The Kanemakan and the Kanemakan are not straight up and down, but like this. If they're Note, Ze, Klape, Ze, if that's the way they're tilted, in Yesh, Bakanesh, Al Gaban, Arba'at Fahim, Hareze Kasher. In this configuration, the distance between the top of this and the top of this must be at least Arba'at Fahim. If it's so close together that you don't have arba'at tefachim across the top, it's no good. Surat ha-petach means a roof. And the roof has to be at least arba'at tefachim. And therefore, two poles which just lean together, no good. You need a roof of at least arba'at tefachim. B'dochat gadol, yesh makom l'hachshir im yesh shlosha tefachim, according to the Chazon Ish. It needs some kind of roof defined by these measures. If they tilt the opposite direction, so the heads go away from each other, in yesh ben tachtiyot hakanim nevach shel arba'at tefachim, harei ze kasher. Surat HaPesach needs not only a roof of at least asar tefachim, it needs a floor of at least arba'at tefachim, and therefore if the bottoms of the kanim are at least arba'at tefachim apart, the fact that they tilt away from each other is irrelevant. So when they tilt away or towards each other, the rule is you need a roof and you need a floor, and as long as the distances are big enough to give you a minimum roof and a minimum floor, you're okay. As far as pirtzot, gaps, are concerned, there is some of the machlokas poskim, but the underlying idea is kol pirtza shi aruka me'eser amot paselet. If you have a pirtza, no tzurat ha-petach. You have most of your area enclosed by a tzurat ha-petach, or maybe a real wall. For example, Kiryat HaYeshiva here is, as you point out, surrounded by a real fence. Let us imagine for a moment that the electric gate where the cars go in and out is open. There is no tzurat ha-petach over that, is there? Let's just for a moment assume there isn't. But here we have a pirtza. If on Shabbos it's open, I understand on Shabbos it's usually closed, but if on Shabbos it would be open, and no tzurat ha-petach over it, and the pirtza is more than asara eser amot, which indeed it is, that's enough to parcel the whole eruv. Now, if it's a small gate which opens, and a small gate is less than asara tzvachim, well, a gap less than asara tzvachim does not parcel the rest of the mechitzas. That's coming next. The Mishnah Brura says, "Moldedim kol tzela b'nifrad." According to the Mishnah Brura, if we have four sides to the eruv, each side has to be measured separately. And according to the Aruch HaShulchan, we do not measure each side separately. Rather, we measure the whole hekesh together. And the reason we have to measure each side separately, according to Mishnah Brura, or the whole hekesh together, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, is it must be meruba omed, must be a majority full. If the majority are gaps, even though each gap is less than Eser Amos, doesn't matter. If you have a single gap, Eser Amos or more, that fossils. You have a little gaps, less than Eser Amos, such that the gaps add up, such that the gaps add up to a row of the mechitza, that also fossils the Eruv. Pirza Pachok Me'eser Amos Bitzela Achad Poselet Rakim He Rove Hatzela. That's the underlying idea here. It turns out, therefore, that if you wish to build an Eruv, either ad hoc, just for a specific case, a specific camp, or a camping situation on Shabbos, or for a more permanent situation in your own garden, or perhaps your garden together with a neighbor's garden or something like that, the rules are fairly simple, and one should not run into great difficulties. אין הזאת ברכה עם העירוב מצרף יותר מדייר אחד, אז צריך גם עירוב חצרות, השתתפות בלחם, ועל זה יש ברכה. עירוב חצרות, השתתפות בלחם, אם יש דריסת רגל של יותר מדייר אחד. אם יש רק דייר אחד, וכולם אוכלים ביחד בשולחן אחד, if they're all eating together, then they're one big happy family, and they don't need to join together with a loaf of bread. But if they're eating separately, different dayarim, different families, then they must symbolically come together as a single family by owning jointly a loaf of bread, and on that bread there's a bracha of ale. Okay?
Let us just...
So, גורם לכך שכל השטח נחשב כרשות היחיד. ביער? ביער צריך לחיצות, צריך לחיצות, אחרת זה קרמלית. הכל קרמלית ביער. ולכן יש הוצאה מדרבנן.
אני יכול להקיף
יער? אם דרים שם, כן. לא, אם אין אוכל, אם אין אוכל לדור שם, לדור שם, אז אי אפשר. צריך איזה דירה. How are you? Thank you.